Listen, Brock, we got a little I love that little piece, but we don't know when to clap. I didn't even want to mess it up. So we, Dominique, you're here. We need you. Someone, Arthur, you got this, right? Brand, someone show us when to clap, because I have no idea when to do it. That was amazing. Amazing. Hey, I got back last Monday night from California. I want to tell you a little bit about my trip before I get into the message this morning. I think you'll be amused. So we go out to see Brianna every October. And this year, for 6 weeks, I was online checking Expedia. I knew every condo, Airbnb. I knew every hotel. And I booked a hotel for us. And the day before we leave, my son texts me in the middle of the night, "Dad, can I change the place?" I was like, "Why?" He said, "I just want to change it. I think I can find something better." It's like, "Where you been the last 6 weeks?" When I've been, so he changes it, and we go from a hotel, a two-room hotel, to an Airbnb. So we arrive in California, and we go to the Airbnb. The woman's name is Mary. Okay, when we walk in the house with all of our Trader Joe's groceries, and I notice that Mary's in the house. Mary comes with the deal, Ricky. Apparently, Mary came and she was blending a smoothie. Okay, the blender was there. The house was completely lived in by her. And as we have the groceries, she says, "Hey, I have a shelf or two in my fridge that you can use." And I'm like, "What is going on here?" Now, I don't want to offend JoJo, but it's like, I think you blew it, JoJo. You know, so they go up and check. She says, "Well, I have the master, and you guys can take the other two bedrooms." I was like, this is not really what I was expecting in my $1,650 Airbnb, three-bedroom with a pool. I said, it's a hot tub. I said, "The hot tub works?" She says, "It will be working later this week when they fix it." Now, I've heard that before, okay? So now there's no hot tub. And I said, "What about the TV? Do you have cable?" "No." Now, the Yankees were, of course, we don't want to talk about sports. You don't want to talk about the Cowboys, and I don't want to talk about the Yankees after last night. But she has no cable, so she's on the phone with Spectrum trying to get cable in time for me to watch the game, and I'm like, we ain't doing this. So we walked. I told her, "Mary, you're really nice. I'm sure we'd love to spend the week with you, but that wasn't our plan. We have other family coming in," and I said, "I don't think this is going to work out, but can you give us about 30 minutes to find a backup before we get out of this thing?" We go out in the driveway. Within 60 seconds, JoJo finds another Airbnb, which didn't come with Mary or Martha or anyone else, and it was awesome, with a hot tub, and we had an incredible time, just a great, great time. So let me tell you what I was doing Saturday night I watched the Yankee game in my daughter's apartment, but on Sunday I planned to do the same, and her roommates were watching football. So I was like, this is a problem. So we got in these little Lime scooters. Have you guys ever rode the Lime scooters? Amazing. Me and JoJo tried to go to the border with them. You know, there's these little scooters, you pop your credit card in and you get on. It's like a little, what do you call those things? It's like a skateboard, but with a handle, and you fly. They're awesome. And we decided that we would watch the Sunday night baseball game in a bar in Pacific Beach. So I have not been in a bar I go into restaurants with bars, but this was a bar in a young town, in a party town, and I'm in there watching the game. So I got myself, what did I get to drink? I think I got a water and I bought wings, okay? I was pretty safe. I didn't have any alcohol. And I want to tell you something, that first of all, our world is lost. It's just lost. I watched these people drink and drink and drink and drink. I watched guys and girls hooking up. I mean, I wasn't watching, you know, but I mean, you know it's happening. And there I am, sharing Christ with people in the bar. It was unbelievable. In fact, Do you remember the workout Insanity that I used to do? You know my hip is doing really well, but I don't want to do Insanity anymore. It's too old. It's old. It's outdated. But there is a new Insanity, and my nephew, who was with us on this trip, he wrote the music for this new Insanity. It's like Insanity. It's called Penalty Box, and the guy who does the video was there, and he met my nephew in the bar, and him and his video guy and his buddy, this is a young 26-year-old guy from New Jersey who's become a millionaire because this thing has exploded. And there he is asking me, okay, Joe, tell me, what's the most important bit of advice that you can give me? And the other two guys, and I says, about what? I said, spiritual, you know, business, health. He said, all three. And I'm telling them about Jesus. So I've already, Gino, mailed out my books to them. And what an incredible opportunity. And it just reminded me of how insulated I can be as a pastor, because I don't get out to bars and get with the people who really know that their lives are empty and they need Jesus. Now, it was a lot of fun, and we had a great time. I'm glad to be back, but I was at my daughter's church, and my daughter, there's about 800 people in her church. It's a new church. You guys know Phil Wickham? Evan Wickham, his brother, is the pastor of this church. And so I got to the church. It's about 700 to 800 young people, just mostly college, and I would say 20s. That's really about it. And they did two songs. Now, he's a musician. Evan's a musician like his brother. They did two songs, and he preached for 1 hour and 10 minutes. You know what he preached on? It's not normal, okay? They were falling asleep, okay? But you know what he preached about? The importance of being connected. And with my prophetic gift, I knew what he was thinking. I almost was at his meetings with his staff where they said, we have a crowd, but we don't have an army. We have a bunch of people that come to have their ears tickled and listen to some great music, but they're not being employed to use their gifts and abilities. They're not in community where they can discover what their gifts and abilities are, and they made a change, and they're realizing what we have, it may look good, but it's not what we want. We want a group of people who are connected to each other and who are following Jesus Christ using their gifts and abilities, and that's what we're going to talk about this morning. Okay, so we're going to jump back into Ephesians. Last week, Pastor Joey, I heard he said the worship is more important than the sermon, okay? And I'm not mad at him. I think they're as important. I think they work hand in hand together, and I would love for you to have that approach. And just, we're doing better with being on time, but we take about the first 30 minutes of every Sunday morning, and we give it to Tanya and her team and ask them to lead us into God's presence. And you know what? You will listen better to God's word when you've been in God's presence. So I don't disagree with him. I think they're both important. But Joey talked about the importance of growing up in order to grow. And the idea that as people individually grow and mature, so does the church. Now, 2 weeks ago, I left off in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 8, where Paul introduced us to the fact that Christ has given spiritual gifts to each of us. He's given out gifts. Learning about how we have uniquely been gifted and putting those gifts into use will go a long way towards us maturing as individuals and will certainly help us to mature and grow as a church. So the idea that most of you are sitting there saying, I can't have anything that would be worth contributing, you're wrong. That's not right. That's wrong, because God has empowered and gifted each of us to do something. So let's jump into, we're going to do a few verses today, and then we're going to try and begin to help you and I to discover and employ our gifts so that as an individual, we're fulfilled in Christ, and as a body, as a church, we're able to move forward and do everything he's called us to do. All right, so you ready to jump in with me? Okay, I feel like I'm ready to close in prayer, okay? All right, let's go to verse 7. It says, but grace was given to each one of us according to the measure of Christ's gift. Therefore, it says, when he ascended on high, he led a host of captives, and he gave gifts to men. Okay. So when Jesus, 40 days after his resurrection, ascended back into heaven to be with the Father, It says he led a host of captives, meaning there were people that were set free. Now, my understanding of this is that it were people that believed in God, were looking forward to the Messiah that was to come, but had already died. They were freed from the portion of Hades that was the temporary heaven. Okay, Hades at that time was divided in the bosom of Abraham, which it was called, which was a place for believers, and then the rest, which was not a good place. And when Jesus was resurrected, those who had died as believers in God, they were taken with him into heaven. That's not the important thing we're going to talk about today, but it says he gave gifts to men. Now, obviously, it means women as well. But these were spiritual gifts, okay? It wasn't the lottery ticket, wasn't the car, wasn't the house. They were spiritual gifts. Each of us has a spiritual gift, something we have been given and can employ that will help us build up the church. And when we employ that gift, it brings fulfillment to our lives. Now, for some of you, you're here, and some of you come every week. Most of you come about every other week, some 2 out of 3 weeks, whatever it is. But most of you consider your participation in this church as being a spectator. You listen to the worship team, okay? And you listen to the sermon, whoever it is that's up here. But that is not the New Testament model of the church. We're not spectators. We are participants. We're all on the field. We're all kind of in the game. We're players. Well, not in that way, okay? But we are players. We're spiritually players. We're on the field, okay? Verse 9. In saying he ascended, he rose from the, he rose from the dead. He ascended is when he went up into heaven. The disciples watched him. He went up into heaven. In saying he ascended, what does it mean but that he had also descended into the lower regions of the earth? For Christ to ascend back to heaven means he had to come to earth. And we know that. Jesus came, you know the song? He came from heaven to earth to show the way, and then he went back to heaven. But while he was on earth, he completed the task of providing payment for and forgiveness of our sins. He did his job. And Jesus, right before he left, he said this to the disciples. He's about to ascend to heaven. He said, you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. It hadn't happened yet, but it was days away. You will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witnesses. The power we were to receive when the Holy Spirit was sent to fill the believers in Jesus Christ was a power to be witnesses, to do the work of taking Christ to the world. And with the receiving of the Holy Spirit, we received spiritual gifts. Okay. And now I want to be very, very careful to connect with you the idea that the Holy Spirit that lives inside of us as believers, he is the one inside of us that has made alive the ability for us to enact the gifts that God wants us to have. Okay? So when you say, Joe, you don't understand, I'm not really that gift, it's not about you. It's not about you. It's not about me. Listen, I never taught a day in my life before I was a believer. I never spoke publicly in front of anyone. Didn't have any ability of how to do it. Didn't know how to encourage people. Didn't even think about it. But when the Holy Spirit came in, there were gifts that he brought to life inside of me. It's him. It's the Spirit of God. So let's look at how God has gifted us to do the work of the ministry, because it starts with gifted people. Now, I want to begin by saying this. There is a difference between natural abilities and spiritual gifts. Natural abilities are more talents that we're born with. But spiritual gifts are given to us when we come to faith in Christ, and they're distributed by the Holy Spirit. He lives within us. So in your prayer life, I hope that you include your prayers. You pray to God the Father through Jesus Christ the Son. I'm really hoping that you're asking the Holy Spirit to fill you. And that you're in relationship because he's part of the triune God. One God in three persons, Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Very important for us to understand that. But I want you to see in verse 11 some of the positions, the offices that we see in the kingdom and in the church. Okay? It says, and he gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the shepherds, and teachers. Okay? So there are five offices that we're given, and I want to go through them, five. The first one is apostles. Now, you had the 12 disciples who were apostles, but this is more of an apostolic gifting. Okay? An apostle literally means sent one who is sent. Apostles are, I'm going to just be very kind of brief in this, they are those with special abilities to create and lead large multiplying ministries. That's what an apostle is. They see big things. They usually get ideas for things that don't yet exist, and they're able to bring them into existence by rallying people. They're apostles, okay? It says he's given apostles. Number two, he's given prophets. Now, this is not necessarily like the prophets of the Old Testament who spoke, thus said the Lord. But these are people, men and women, who have special abilities to hear from God and speak to issues of the church and of individual believers. Prophets, those who God gives them amazing insight to see things that are to be, to speak to people about things happening in their lives in such a way that they deal with sin and they're encouraged to move forward in their callings. Apostles, prophets. Number three, evangelists. Okay. Evangelists are those who have special abilities to lead others to Christ. Now, it doesn't mean that if you're not an evangelist, you don't share Christ. There, and I'll talk to you a little bit about how these offices work, because I have had at least three, if not four, of these, of the five things enacted in my life in different times of my life, based on God's calling for his anointing for what I was doing. But evangelists, they reach people with the gospel, and people are coming to Christ around evangelists. Number four, pastors. Pastors, those who have special abilities to care for and shepherd the flock. They take care of people. And then the fifth is teachers, those who have special abilities to teach God's word. Okay. So I would say, that when I was in youth ministry, there was a time I was prayed over, and there was an apostolic calling on my life as a youth pastor. Gino, you were part of it. I was leading the Youth Pastors Network in Arlington, and I was leading the 21 networks, youth pastor networks throughout the entire Metroplex. God had put that anointing on my life while I was youth pastor at Pantego Bible Church to lead lots of things. And it was an anointing I had, and when I got out of youth ministry, that anointing was gone. I can tell you that because none of the senior pastors ever listened to me, okay? I have little to no influence with senior pastors in this city because that was an anointing. It was there for a time. As a youth pastor, I often was an evangelist. Okay? But now, in this season of my life, the office that God has called me to is to pastor. Now, some of you would say teacher, but I'm not really a teacher. I teach, but I teach as a pastor, okay? Because I want to encourage you. I'm not trying to give you information so you walk away knowing more. I'm trying to empower you, inspire you to take God's word and live it out. So at this time in my life, the office that I feel like I have is a pastor, and God has given me special abilities to care for and to shepherd the flock. Now, that's me. Let's talk about you. Though these positions often involve a calling and an anointing, and are often full-time vocational people, pastors and ministers, many that are not pastors or ministers can indeed be gifted in one of these areas as well. I suspect that there are some of us that are gifted in some of these areas sitting in this room right now. You have an apostolic calling in your life. Maybe you have a prophetic calling. Maybe you're an evangelist. Maybe you have pastoring that's in you. Maybe you're a teacher. And what we want to do is we want to help you identify yourself and then help you employ your gifts. Now, at the end of the service, we're going to have some ways that you can perhaps discover if one of those five areas is a gift for you. Now, I don't believe that they're for everyone. I think most people, it's going to be mainly for people that are going to step up into leadership positions. But really, any of you can have any of those gifts. And if you have it, guess what? We need it. What do you mean we need it? You got all these guys. We got Brock. We got Tyler. We got Travis. We got Gina. We got Doug. It's like, but listen, God intends for all of us to get on the field and to be used, okay? All right. What are these gifted leaders called to do? Now, you might think they're called to minister. Kind of. But not only minister. Look at verse 12. I'll go back to 11 and I'll just continue reading into 12. And he gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the shepherds, and teachers to equip the saints for the work of ministry, for building up the body of Christ. Do you see that? Could you read that? Not out loud, just look at it now. Please, look at it. Is it up there? To our job, those of us that have that one of those fivefold giftings, is not to do all the work, it's to equip the saints. Who's a saint? A believer. To equip, I got to go to this side too. The saints for the work of ministry. Because we're all called to minister, to take the gifts we have and to use it. And what happens then? For the building up of the body of Christ. Amen. See, so this little side gig that I have is I work with pastors who need buildings. Okay? Like Max Shirley in Authentic City. Okay, so God called me, and you know, listen, it hasn't been without challenge to our church to allow that millennial church to come here 2 years ago and start using our sound system, our building, and everything else. Listen, you have no idea the amount of traffic that causes. But God called me to help young Mac, and Mac, they have their own building that's being built out right now. You know the old DMV? The DMV on Park Springs over there? By Regio Taco, Taco Regio, whatever it is. Great taco place. But that old DMV is theirs. That is the new Authentic City Church. They should be in at the latest by the first week in January. And then there's another church called Sukkot Shalom. And you heard from Joey last week. He's been here a few times. I was at their service yesterday. Unbelievable. They're having about 120 people show up now. The place is packed. They don't have these first two rows. They back everything up. And man, exciting. See, so it's for building up the body of Christ, the kingdom. It's not just for Crossroads. Some of your gifts, as we help you discover some of your gifts, as much as we want to create a bench, we want to have lots of people that are able to jump in and do ministry, but some of you are going to be called to minister in other places, maybe in your workplace. Maybe you're going to start a ministry like we had with United House, okay? That's a ministry that started here. Yeah, he helps me to work with people. I helped a little bit, okay? And there's all kinds of things, and then I will beg. Some of it is going into a classroom, right, Dee? And loving some young children that are going to come to know Christ and walk with him all their lives, okay? So we're called to take our gifts and equip the saints to do the work of the ministry. Why? So the body of Christ can be built up. This is the study. This is the focus of our study in Ephesians. Remember what it's called? Becoming the church. And remember the picture of that guy? You got the big body, but all those little bodies, that's us. And who's the head? It's Christ. And all of us have been gifted by who? The Holy Spirit, who's put little gifts in all of those little bodies there. That's us. And now we begin to use those gifts, and we grow up as a church. We mature. Now, I want to look at some other places in Scriptures where gifts are mentioned and listed. Okay. I want to go to Romans because those are mainly leadership gifts, even though you don't have to be a pastor to have one of those gifts. But I think they're leadership gifts. But this in Romans 12, we see a section of scripture that really talks about how we're hardwired, how we're on the inside, how we are wired. It's like our spiritual temperament, our spiritual personality. Okay. So I want you to see there are seven of these. Let me read them to you, okay? Romans 12, verse 3. For by the grace given to me, I say to everyone among you, not to think of himself or herself more highly than he ought to think, but to think with sober judgment, each according to the measure of faith that God has assigned. What Paul is saying there is, listen, as you discover your gift, don't start thinking you're all this or that. Don't start bragging and thinking, wow, I got all these gifts. I got better gifts than you. And it's like, man, if it's a gift, don't take credit for it. Just use it. Just use it. Because we will be held responsible for the way we did or didn't use our gifts. I won't allude to the scriptures where Jesus talked about that, but we will. So let's look at these gifts. Romans 12, verse 4. For as in one body we have many members, and the members do not have the same function, so we, though many, are one body in Christ, and individually members one of another. So it's just that picture there. It's the body of Christ is it's one body, but it's all different people, of which all of us are part of that. Now he goes into these gifts. Verse 6, having gifts that differ according to the grace given to us, let us use them. Let us use our gifts. And he lists them out. If prophecy, in proportion to our faith. Now, this is not being a prophet. This is having, and I'll explain to you, well, I'll explain to you as we go. The idea of prophecy, the gift, the inner motivation of prophecy, it's the eyes of the body. People with a motivation, I'm going to call these the spiritual hardwiring. These are motivational gifts. They are gifted with spiritual sight. They're clear and direct in speaking what they think. They're black and white about issues. A person with a prophetic motivation, they speak the truth. When they see something that's wrong, and I'm going to look at some of you that I think have that. When they see something wrong, they speak to it, not around it. They don't speak to their friends. They speak to the person they think has the problem. It's a prophet. Now, sometimes they can lack tact and can be offensive to other people. Okay? That's prophecy. If service in our serving. So here's the spiritual motivation of being of serving. This is the hands of the body. A person with a motivation of serving, they love to meet physical needs. They are always ready and willing to help. They do it behind the scenes. They don't want to be noticed for it. They love to get busy. I'm looking at someone now that I think has that motivation. They love to just, what needs to be done, they love to come alongside and help, okay? Sometimes, though, they get overcommitted because they have a hard time saying no. And they can be offended if what they're doing over a long period of time is not appreciated or noticed, okay? All right, let's go to the next one. The one who teaches in his teaching. Now, this is the motivation of teaching. It's not, doesn't necessarily mean you're a gifted teacher. Okay? But it has, your hard wiring is, this is the mind of the body of Christ. A person with a motivation of teaching loves to do research. Okay? Let me look at my, where is he? I'll just put it this way. He's a saxophone player. Okay, where are you, Orville? Hi, buddy. Okay? They love research. They love to instruct. They love to communicate information. They love to validate truth. They can at times give too much information and can struggle to be practical. But they are, most of our theologians have the motivation of teaching. Now, there was a guy, you ever hear of Charles Ryrie? A little before most of your time. You ever hear of him? He wrote a Bible. Well, actually, it was a Ryrie study Bible. But Charles Ryrie was amazing in his time, and I was at Bible school, and he came to teach there for 1 week. He was the most boring teacher that I ever heard in my life. He put us all to sleep, but he was brilliant, and he wrote a Bible. Well, he did a study Bible. He was amazing. Orville, I'm not saying you're boring at all, okay? But Charles Ryrie was, but what a gift to the body of Christ as he discovered truth and would he wanted to give people truth, okay? Number four. It says, the one who exhorts, and exhort means to encourage, the one who exhorts in his exhortation, okay? The person with the motivation of exhortation is the mouth of the body. This person cares for the spiritual needs in the body, builds people up, and loves to encourage, okay? Sometimes they can come across as having all the answers. Sometimes they talk a lot, and sometimes they get upset when people don't follow their counsel. But they are the ones that without a degree and without, what do you call those things? The shingle you put when you're a counselor? They counsel people, but they don't get paid for it. They encourage and they exhort. They come alongside people that need help, and they encourage them. Number five, the fifth gift, is the one who contributes is to do that in generosity. This is also known as the gift of giving. Did you know that there is a spiritual motivation where a person, their contribution in the body of Christ, okay, is to give? That's what they love to do. So it's the arms of the body, okay? They help us all to do what we're supposed to do. So they're gifted to produce. They're entrepreneurs oftentimes. They make lots of money, and they share those resources. They're motivated to make and then give money. So what we wanted to do is we wanted to discover all of you with the gift of giving, and we want you to start sitting up front. We want to give you some special seats and really make you comfortable, and Gino's going to wash your feet. No, I'm just kidding. That's how they mess things up in the book of James, remember? They were rich people walking into the place and they were giving them a special. Listen, if you have that gift, we don't know it because we don't really know what you give. But if that is a gift that you have, well, you're to employ that. God actually has taken some people and gifted them to be able. Now, we don't have lots of people, but listen, there's a person that doesn't go to our church that at Lazy Dog, I need to start going there again, because last time I went to Lazy Dog, a man that considers himself a part of this church and never attends, he handed me a check for $125,000 for my personal account. No, not for my, for Crossroads of Arlington, okay? Which is one of the reasons why that we were able to bring some of the people on that we did this year. And I remember I says, why don't you come to church? And he should, but he said to me, look, you preach and I make money and you just take the money I give you. And I said, okay. It's not what I want. I want him here. I care more about him than I do about what he does. But and by the way, he had two other checks to give to two other churches that day. And I know he doesn't attend those churches either. It's a gift. It's an inner motivation that's what a person wants to do. They just love to do that. Okay, let's continue. Two more. It says, the one who leads with zeal. Okay, so I'm looking at someone that has that gift. The person with the gift of leadership, it doesn't actually mean that they're always leading everything, but they have this gift, and they're the shoulders of the body. They see the big picture, they give direction to others, and they get things done. They get them done. They evaluate problems and have plans to solve them. Now, some of the things they struggle with, sometimes they subconsciously can dominate others. They don't take input well, and they can be upset when questioned. But people with the gift of leadership, guess what we need you to do? If that's your motivation, you should be leading something. Something you should be leading because you have the ability to see the big picture and to get people to where we can accomplish that thing. The last gift and is probably one of the gifts that might be looked down on. We shouldn't be looking down on any gift, but listen. It says, the one who does acts of mercy with cheerfulness. Mercy. A person that has a mercy motivation really represents in some ways the heart of the body of Christ. This person is sensitive to the hurts of others. You know that person when someone does something, even if it was their fault, you know, they run to that person and they want to sit with them and they want to cry with them and they want to have compassion. They bring a thing of Kleenex with them. They're full of love, compassion, and they're full of mercy. They're focused on the emotional needs of others, and they're not judgmental. Now, you imagine if a person messes up, the person with the gift of prophecy comes in and speaks truth. Sin in your life, right? Okay. The person with the servant says, okay, what can I do to help clean up the mess, right? The person with the exhortation comes and says, listen, I'm going to give you 6 steps that you can take to never go down that road again. Okay? The teacher gives them, from the Hebrew and the Greek, the scriptures that they violated. Okay? The one with the giving brings his checkbook and says, okay, how much do you need? And the one with mercy sits down and cries with them and says, why is the prophet so mean? Okay? Right? Right? So here's the deal, guys. They're all gifts. And we don't look at ourselves more highly than we should. We use our gift and we let other people use theirs. When the prophet says to the mercy-motivated person, they're kind of opposites. I'm just having fun with that. And when the prophet says to the mercy, hey, why are you being so soft? That person is in sin. They need to repent. It's like they also need to be loved. Okay. So which one is it? It's both. Okay. They need to be served. They need someone to bail them out with the cash. They need counsel. They need it all. Okay. And that's what the body of Christ does. Does that make sense? I believe that each of us is hardwired to naturally operate in one of these areas. That I believe. And we have a little, Tyler's going to go over it with you. We have something for you to actually take the test. We have a test we're going to put in your hands today if you'd like it. And you can go through it. It'll help you understand where you fit. Okay? Now, I want to look at one more area, and I'm going to do this very briefly, and we're going to have to cover this more because I want our church to be adept at this, but I'm not going to be able to do it now, but who knows? I may do it next week, okay? But these are manifestational gifts. Outward manifestations. A manifestation is something that comes out, okay? I'm not going to go into detail on them, but these are Holy Spirit gifts that come out as needed in the moment. Let me read this to you from 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 4. Now, there are varieties of gifts, but the same Spirit. And there are varieties of service, but the same Lord. And there are varieties of activities, but it is the same God who empowers them all in everyone. To each is given the manifestation, the outward working of the Spirit, the outward working of the inward Holy Spirit. Okay, you got that? For the, what does it say? Common good. So the Holy Spirit inside of us brings gifts out of us, Holy Spirit gifts, for the common good, for the good of the people in the congregation. Listen to what some of these gifts are. For to one is given through the Spirit the utterance of wisdom, to another the utterance of knowledge according to the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healing by the one Spirit, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another the ability to distinguish between spirits, to another various kinds of tongues, to another, the interpretation of tongues. All these are empowered by one and the same Spirit, who apportions to each one individually as he wills. Now, for a church like ours, which we have always believed that all the gifts are operative, but we have not had a lot of outward manifestations of that, at least in our services. And probably, I don't know if that's something that God has for us, but I do know one thing that God has for us, that he wants to be able to manifest through us the gifts that need to be expressed. So, by the way, on remember the motivational, the seven ones I talked to you about from Romans? Okay, I am an exhorter. I have the gift of exhortation because I naturally encourage. In fact, even right now, I am not trying to impart, I'm not like Charles Ryrie, I'm not trying to give you information. You know what I would like you to do after today? I'd like you to discover your gift and go use it, and then I can cheer you on. Because that's my motivation. Now, yours may be different. But in this area, in these gifts, I have a strong prophetic gift. And I had to discover it because most of the churches I was in didn't allow you to have them. They said, these are not for today anymore. I really don't know where that comes from in the scriptures. But I do know why those people, the good people, godly people, Christians, they did it because of some of the people using those gifts were maybe a little bit out of control and out of order. And maybe overemphasize it. But the answer isn't to throw the baby away with the bathwater. The answer is to find the middle ground where we're allowing the Holy Spirit to employ, to bring about these gifts and have them flow through our lives. So for me, I have discovered I have a prophetic gift. I often know what's going on in situations. Sometimes, not all the time. It's sometimes. I'm in my marriage coaching. Are you kidding me? I'm sitting there and the Lord is telling me exactly what's going on in a family's lives, and I'm able to speak to it. He lets me know so I can know. And there are often times the Lord lets me know things, and now that I'm using the gift, I'm starting to see it pop up all over the place, you know? So now I can actually say, hey, can I talk to you? I think the Lord put something on my heart, and I'll speak something to the person, and it's just natural. I'm just letting it come out, and I'll always say, I'm not sure that I could be wrong, but this is what I feel the Lord is calling. And I just did it the other day. I had a great ministry time with a girl from New Jersey that we know. Me and Tony went out to breakfast with two young girls. And amazing the work that God is doing in their lives. And I told her, I said, I believe that you're going to be on staff at one of the offshoots of a Mosaic church that exists out there. And she said, Joe, I've been thinking the same thing. So God gave me that information to tell her so she could be encouraged to follow in that. And I don't understand it all. I mean, because I grew up in churches. I didn't grow up in church. When I got to church, they were all telling us those gifts don't exist. They do exist. And I'm trying to learn how to use them and how to recognize them. But some of you have some of those gifts more than I do. I don't have the gift of tongues. I've asked for it about 1,000 times. But I know for sure, because I'm an encourager, if I got the gift of tongues, I would be trying to make every one of you speak in tongues. I couldn't help it, and that's probably why God in his wisdom to this point hasn't given me that gift. But that gift exists, and many of you have that gift. At least two of our elders have that gift, and I think it's a wonderful thing. So we'll talk more about this. But though it's probable that some people operate strongly with these manifestational gifts, it's also probable that the Holy Spirit can give these gifts out to any one of us when needed. So I'm going to close out this morning. A growing church will be filled with growing people. And growing people are certainly people who know about and are employing their gifts. And I want to read to you. I brought these glasses up. I hope I don't need them. I've never done that before, but man, I can see this. I don't need them. I want to read to you a little story from this devotional I've been going through. I did it once before, Book of Mysteries by Jonathan Kahn. It's amazing. Listen to this, this little devotional he gives called The Adoret. I want you to sit back and just let this sink in. It was the middle of the afternoon. We went up a high mountain and to the same cave in which we had seen the engraving of the cherub with the outstretched wings. The teacher went inside without me and soon emerged, holding a large garment, a robe of sorts, made of a rough, light brown material. Camel's hair, as in the mantle of Elijah, the one who cast onto the shoulders of Elisha, signifying that Elisha would follow in his footsteps as a prophet of the Lord. Can you imagine being Elisha and feeling Elijah's mantle come over you? I'm going to put these on because got to be able to really see this. I'm vain, but you matter more to me. Okay. How do I look, right? I can't even see you. Where are you? Oh, there you go. Okay. It must have been overwhelming. He must have felt totally inadequate. Undoubtedly, said the teacher, but so did all the others who received their mantles, their callings. From Moses to Isaiah to Jeremiah to Peter, they all felt unworthy of the mantle given them, and with good reason. The mantle was too big. The calling. It didn't fit. But that's the nature of the mantle. In Hebrew, the mantle is called the Adoret. Adoret means large, big, great, wide, powerful, excellent, noble, mighty, and glorious. You see, the mantle is bigger and greater than the one it's given to you. It's given to. And so too it is with you. The student responds, with me? The teacher says, with all his children, each one is given a mantle, a calling, and you will be given yours. But remember, your mantle is your adoret, and the adoret always speaks of greatness. So your calling will be too big for you. It won't fit. It won't match who you are. And there will be times when you'll struggle with that, with its magnitude in comparison to who you are. It will always be greater, more powerful, more noble, more excellent, and more glorious than the one who wears it and to whom it is given. The student responded, but why? Why does God give us mantles that are too big and don't fit? The teacher said, your mantle is not meant to fit who you are. It's meant to fit who you are to be, who you are to become. So when you were a little child, your parents bought you clothes that didn't fit, that were too big. It wasn't to fit who you were, it was to fit who you were to become. So too, your mantle, your calling from God, must be beyond you, that you can grow into it, that you can rise to it. So never be discouraged at the difference in size. It must be that way, that you might become greater, more excellent, more noble, more powerful, and more glorious than you are now. Your and my mantle, listen guys, this calling for me as a shepherd with a motivation of encouraging, with prophetic giftings to know what people need when I'm in a place to help them, it's beyond me. It's beyond me. I have to grow into it, and so do you. Will we be a church willing to step up and say, God, you've given me these gifts by your Holy Spirit. Help me to rise and be the men, the women, the teenagers you've called me to be. Lord, that is my prayer, that each of us would accept the gift, would discover it, would employ it, and would allow ourselves to become greater because of your calling on our lives. In Jesus' name.